Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister here in the 5 o'clock hour with you until 6 o'clock tonight. The Pelicans in Philadelphia tonight. Their tip-off is at 6:30, and that will be right here on WWL, the Big 870. Joining us now, John Stinchcomb, the Saints Super Bowl champion offensive tackle, talking all things Saints, and we'll look a little bit at the NFL playoffs. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Appreciate y'all having me on.
No, awesome. So, You're home. You're watching this from afar a little bit, but give me a sense of what you can kind of take away early stages of the coaching situation and just kind of, I guess it's got to be hard. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, the uncertainty of the future. It's got to be difficult to kind of, you know, go day to day.
Well, sure. And that's for everyone involved. I mean, I remember back when we were transitioning from Hazlitt, and obviously those were some pretty extreme circumstances post-Katrina, but there's so many questions, and everybody wants insight and to get that early edge on who it might be, and there's expected turnover, and obviously with the cap situation, there are some restrictions there, and there's obviously some pieces that are going to need to move. So I think more than anything, rather than speed, you just want it to be the right decision. And, you know, if you reflect back two decades and you're going, this is a difficult situation. We need the right guy for the job. And Mickey Loomis and company were able to find that right person. I think Sean Payton was the right answer at the right time. And you hope a similar decision can be reached this time around. There are some challenges, but you also have an organization that wants to win and wants to provide the pieces that are necessary for those things to come to fruition. So there's a lot to be excited about, and it's a decision that you just can't rush through.
Stinch, Deuce here. Brother, I hope you're doing well. I hope the family is doing well. But I have to ask you your thoughts on it. The aspect of maybe a former player having that opportunity, a guy that has been – he doesn't have to necessarily have been on your team or in the building with you from an organizational standpoint. But give me your thoughts of a former player being able to take that role and, you know, being able to say, hey – whether he's offensive guy, defensive guy, doesn't really matter. But what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Deuce, always good to hear from you, brother. Online, on air, or otherwise. But yeah, there is at the very least, a perception from players when there is a coach that's been through it. He's been through the fire, and right or wrong, there is a perception that's just different, and there's a relatability. And I think some guys, some former players can utilize that, and it's to their advantage, and others rely on it, and it's they bring very little else. And there are some coaches that maybe don't have that same playing experience, but they can still win a locker room just because they've got exceptional leadership skills. So it can be done one way or the other. It can be done poorly by a player coach that, you know, they relate, but they don't bring those leadership skills. And then there's some others that don't have that locker room experience as a from a player's perspective, but they can still relate to guys, and guys can still buy into that vision. I know, you know, I think we both played with AG, right? So Aaron Glenn is a name that continues to pop up. And as a player, there are certain guys that you just respect that come in. He was a free agent, and you know he's not alone in this. But there is an instant gravitas that they bring into a situation. I think the same holds true for coaches, that when they come in, there's a respect that they. They're just owed, that you can feel it, that there's somebody that is respectable and they're going to earn it. But you can instantly almost tell that there's something different about them. And I think that's what you're looking for, because, you know, as much as folks want to say, hey, they were a great coordinator, whether it's offense or defense, I think there's the ask of a head coach is much different than the ask of a coordinator. I think there's a lot of guys that are really good at coming up with game plans and putting together schemes and packages and coordinating a side of the ball that are not or would not be good head coaches. That the ask is so different that, you know, so many times we're looking at it going, he's got to be a good head coach. He was such a good coordinator. And then I think history proves time and time again that's not always the case. So I think when you look at the transition, when Rizzi took over this year, there was you read the commentary from the locker room, you see the response, and there were some leadership aspects to what he brought. And this is no indictment of DA and what he had. I think it's talking specifically about Rizzi. It's the guys were responsive to him. And I think that's what's more important. I think one of the biggest pieces is for any head coach, you want to find good coordinators and build a good staff. But it all starts with your ability to command a room and create a vision and get guys to buy into that and play your style more than anything else.
Well, and Stanch, I'll tell you, commanding a room, and this is no knock or this is no indictment, so whoever's listening, you hear me say this, don't think that I'm specifically speaking of one coach or any room, but commanding a room is not coming in and yelling.
No, not
in this league. And maybe in high school or college, you can get away with that. But in very few NFL rooms, you're going to get away. You're going to be able to get away with just coming in and yelling, and think guys are going to listen to you. Because at some point, as you know, what are they going to do?
Yeah, they're going to rebel. I mean,
they're going to turn you off.
Bounce back at it.
They're going to rebel and they're going to turn you off. And it's going to be like, man, this guy don't know what he's talking about. This, that doesn't help me.
Small circles.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help me. And so if you can't get them, you're not going to be able to get every player day one to buy in. But if you can't tell them, hey, you've got to be able to allow them to be themselves, but allow them to buy into our goal, our team goal. And then if you can't get them to see that I can help you individually be better or to get paid, whichever one that they're chasing, because they're all chasing something. You're either, you know, mm-hmm. you want to be great at football or you want to get a lot of money. Okay, I'm fine with that. But I got to get you to buy into what we're doing as a team. If you can't connect those, and then if I can't get my staff to be able to connect as a unit, you don't stand a chance. It's not going to happen.
Totally agree. You got to be a unifier, right? Somebody who is able to assemble these pieces. Deuce, you were never a yeller, right? I mean, you weren't that guy that comes in the locker room, it's fire and brimstone and burning guys down. But prime example of someone that had the respect of his teammates. And there's 1,000 different ways to do it. And I do think that there is a difference in expectations of treatment for this generation of player that, you know, they can still be pushed hard, but it's got to be done in a way that makes sense. There's a degree of skepticism that you've got to prove to me why the misery that's demanded is going to help us. And I'm not so sure that same degree of scrutiny existed before, for better or worse. So it's not that I don't want to be pushed. It just I need to understand it. And so it doesn't have to be that yeller, but it certainly has to be, you know, it's a maximizer. And that's the job of a head coach, is I'm going to get the most out of my players, out of my coaches, out of the system. And we're going to be better together as a whole. And, you know, it's the 10-80-10 rule, right? Where you've got 10 very positive guys on a team and 10 at the bottom that, you know, is a little bit of a negative influence maybe. And 80 in the middle that are looking to say, you know, what are we about? And you can have a couple of the at the other end of the spectrum, but you've got to make that balance.
Yeah, so you can have a couple of talented knuckleheads. I don't want to get rid of you, but I will. But you make me so good, or you make me better, that if I can get you to just do right a little bit most of the time, then you know we can put up with it. But if you're not going to do right at all, and you're just talented, then
then
you got to go. You're exactly right. You got to go, because eventually you're going to pull that 80. Now I'm going to lose another 15, and now that 10-80-10, it looks a little bit different. Now I got, 25% down here that are negative, and my team is I'm losing my team. I appreciate that. I like that misery. You got to love the misery sometimes. I like that. John, I got one question. I'm going to send you down a rabbit hole just because I sent Mike down his rabbit hole earlier. You're over in Georgia, so you've seen it, you've heard it, the Carson Beck situation where, he's going to the – hurts the shoulder, his quarterback for Georgia, championship winning, tremendous, most mocks had him at first round, a top five quarterback, pretty much all year, gets hurt. Some uncertainty there, declares for the draft, some back channel talks go on, visits Miami, commits to Miami. Now some of the stuff comes out as far as the NIL package. Just give me your thoughts on what you think, and then, really where you see college football heading.
Oh, buddy, wouldn't that be great to know where it's headed? I know this. As a fan, it becomes tiresome. There is an understanding with the NFL where guys are getting paid, and it's a professional league. And what we're seeing is the merger of professional sports at the collegiate level. And it's hard for fans to kind of stomach it because, y'all are in Bayou country. There's plenty of Tigers down there that are going. I've been loyal. If nothing else, the fan base in Louisiana, it's very loyal. And this is our team, and these are our people. When we won the Super Bowl, it wasn't congratulations, it was thank you. And when you have that level of loyalty, which I think is probably more prevalent in the college game, and now you see what has been paralleled to free agency. Well, even in free agency, I'm a free agent once, and I sign a contract, and I'm committed to a team until that marriage is not good for us, right? And we have to part our ways. And now it's every year, and guys are recognizing you've got players that are going, I might not be able to go to the NFL, but I can stick around and get paid millions of dollars at times and play against 19-year-olds. That sounds pretty appealing to a number of guys. And you see the Pavius case where he's going, I'd like to stick around, and very similar. I don't think this opportunity for Carson Beck doesn't exist just a few years ago, where he comes back to Georgia for the 24 season saying, I have a decent year. I could be the first pick in the draft, and they're going to pay me in north of, I've heard, $3 million this year and total deal, whether it's through the collective, and then he's got deals with Lamborghini and charter flights. So that sounds pretty appealing. I've got an opportunity to come back, get paid a few million, and then get drafted higher, which would equal even more money in the long run. And it doesn't play out that way. He has ups and downs all season long, hurts his shoulder, and it's going that my draft stock at best is the same as where it was when we started this season. And it's not anywhere close to what I thought it would be. And I've got another chance to go and get paid a few million dollars again and improve my draft stock. And if you're asking me, do I like it? Of course I don't. I don't like the system at place. It's not against Carson Beck. It's the old saying, hate the player, hate the game. I don't like it. The way college football is set up and run right now, it's an atrocity. And it's not broken, but there are certainly so many broken aspects of it that it challenges the foundation of what made college football so special. And, you know, that's what makes it hard is, you know, you're eroding some of the loyalties that, that you've relied on that's created this opportunities to get for guys to get, you know, paid the way they are. It's on the foundation of the loyalty of these fans and these companies that they have with their school. And there, you know, there will be adjustments coming. I feel certain because they're needed. And, you know, it's a far cry from the Leonard Fournette, Johnny Manziel, AJ Green. How can I not? You're using my name to make money. And I can't even, you know, for Fournette, it was, you know, he won a clothing line. Johnny Manziel's going, y'all are selling my jerseys with my name on the back, and I can't get anything from it. And A.J. Green sold his jersey for a charity event and misses three games. So that's where this started, and we're so far removed from the heart of what it was supposed to be that it's just going to need another adjustment because – you know, what looks good and feels good for players right now is ultimately going to bite all of us. Everyone that loves and has an appreciation and affinity for the college game, there's going to be a toll that is taken. And I think we're already starting to see pieces of that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think you're already seeing that toll. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you talk about where does the buck stop? It's got to be some type of legislation. I mean, because without a cap, some type of salary cap, and with, you know, ultimately you got to make the guys employees. But I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. We don't have enough time to even talk about that. But I mean, that's where you're ultimately going. And so it's intriguing. It's interesting for the individuals that can take advantage of it right now. You better. I mean, because it's the wild west out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a player, I'm not hating on a guy who's got an opportunity. If my kids, if they had an opportunity to go make six or seven figures, then I cheer for them. What a great opportunity. And, you know, I encourage you to, you know, as long as it's legal, to pursue those kinds of opportunities. That's great. But I think you're exactly right. I think it goes back to legislation is the only way to create structure where it currently doesn't exist. You know, Rosenhaus is on the air with Pat McAfee talking about how, you know, their players, it's kind of a wild, wild west. And you're going, he's saying there's no restrictions here. That's not a good thing.
And if you continue to watch that interview, he said, and mind you, I am his NIL agent. I am not his NFL agent. And he didn't put yet because he wanted to make sure he clarified that. And then today, Abdul Carter declares for the draft. And guess who his agent is going to be?
Weird.
Yeah, so the guy weird that just fronted him for the whole year, past year and a half, 2 years, his NIL broker slash agent. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just he was my marketing agent. Now, just so happened.
He
claimed.
He found the right piece in that board. And hey, look, we appreciate your time here, John. But Allie said, go get those kids ready so you guys can get this six-figure NIL money, brother. Good to talk to you.
No doubt. Well, the only thing we've been playing in the snow today. Georgia doesn't ever get snow, kind of like y'all. So. We had our few inches, and we're going to act like we live in Colorado for the next couple hours.
That's awesome, man. Enjoyed. And for the record, the hole that Deuce sent me down was really the Cavender twins. It wasn't so much Carson, right? And so that was the hole I spent the 5 o'clock news break doing was the Cavender twins, and not, I guess Carson was in there somewhere. I don't know. Didn't see it. Love talking to you, my friend.
A good motivator in there too,
yes,
brother.
There's somewhere. There's some motivation. Get it your own way, man. You know what you got to do. Go enjoy the snow. Thank you, John.
I appreciate you guys.
John Stinchcomb, just super guy. Just fun to talk to, easy to talk to, thoughtful, good analyst. And so appreciate his time.